Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Welcome into a special edition of the Hang Time Podcast. We don't often get a chance to talk to these guys who are living icons of the game, but today we got a special guest coming to us live from France, the man, Tony Parker himself. He's got a fantastic new book out, Beyond All My Dreams. Tony Parker, Spurs great, future Hall of Famer, the whole nine. Sir, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm enjoying life. I love retirement. My body is all healed up. I can walk normally. I don't look like I'm 80 years old, so I feel great.
You know, it's funny, too, because I was joking to myself reading the book. I'm going, this dude's too young to be writing these books, like, looking bad. Like, was that strange for you, though, just having to sit down and go through all this?
It was very strange. And when they first approached me, you know, to do the book, I said the exact same thing as you. I was like, but I'm too young to do a book. I'm like, why do you want to do a book? And when they explained to me, you know, to inspire the new generation and people wanted to know, you know, my story in France, that's how we started it. You know, we started the book in France, told my story, and I thought it'd be good, you know, for the kids. And my academy just opened a year ago. And so I was like, it'd be nice to reflect and be nostalgic about all those unbelievable years. But I agree with you. I thought I was way too young to do one. But it did very well in France. And then an American company approached me and said, can we do a translation? It'd be good in the U.S. A lot of Spurs fans around the U.S. And I was like, sure. And so that's why I'm here with you doing the English version.
No doubt. I would imagine, too, like, when you look at how unique some of the stories are of guys who have been through the league in the last 25 years, the influx of international players, the backgrounds, you know, kind of the how you make it through. I thought it was so interesting, the parts where you really came up with a group of guys behind you, you know, Boris, Ronnie. I had Boris's rookie season when he was in the league. I mean, you were really kind of a Pied Piper for French basketball.
When you look at it, and I'm very proud of, you know, of French basketball, when you see the evolution and where we came from and all the different backgrounds, and you have to put it in perspective. Back then, like, it was big to be drafted in the first round. It was just a huge deal when you get drafted in the first round. And in my position, European point guard, there's no European point guards who made it before me. So it was a huge pressure going with Pop and Timmy and David Robinson, a lot of different pressure. Because Pop, he took a gamble. He took big risk to put a little French point guard at the starting and try to win a championship. And when I look, you know, like, we have 10, 11 guys now, and with the European country, the most represented. We got two French guys who might be drafted, you know, top 20. I'm very happy that I was a part of the evolution of European basketball. And when you look at Dirk and Powell and giving confidence to GMs and owners to have European guys as franchises now, like Luka Doncic and Giannis, I'm very proud. We came a long way since 1993 and Drazen Petrovic and then Vlade and Stojakovic. It came, you know, full circle. And so now it's nice when you see Luka and Giannis having all the success.
The title of the book, and it's reflected in a lot of what you wrote in there, just Beyond All of My Dreams. For people that maybe hadn't had the opportunity to read it, what was your basic premise of what basketball was going to do for you when you were 16, 17 years old?
But growing up, it was a dream, because it was a dream and a very, very far dream. And to me, if you dream and people think is like easy, then your dream is not big enough. You know, like when people say, oh, no, it's impossible, you're crazy, then you know you have a good dream. And and then as I was improving, you know, and getting better, it became a reality, and then it became a goal. The difference, you know, now nowadays, all the European guys, all French guys, they said, no, the NBA is a goal. You know, it's a goal because they know it can happen. But right. For me, I had no idea when I was saying it was a dream. You know, I was like, the NBA was so far, and it was only like, I don't know, 4 or 5 Europeans in the league. And so that's how I started. And that's why I used that title, because even my wildest dream, when I was thinking about NBA, I'd be like, oh, if I'm a good backup and I play 10 minutes, I'll be happy with a good career like that, you know, because that was just, I thought that was already high to just have a role and be a good role player. And so it just put it in perspective for you that now the time changes. And it's funny because I never thought I'd be like 4-time NBA champion. You can't dream about that stuff like that. It's impossible.
Yeah, that run in San Antonio, I was covering the league for all of it too, which to me what made it so remarkable is not just the makeup of those teams, but the fact that y'all were able to keep it together for as long as you did. And then when, you know, you're talking about winning in the 2000s, and then we get in the teens, you come back with the same core group, but totally reconfigured around you and win again. Play 4-1, losing to the Heat, and then win it again. When you got done with that run with the Spurs, what was the most remarkable part about it for you being, a you know, entrenched in it?
For me, but that's why my favorite one is 2014, because it's very, very hard to win an NBA. It is very, very hard. You got a lot of great players who never won a championship, never been to the conference finals. And I've been to 8 conference finals just to show you like how hard it is to win. And so when we won my second year in 2003, I'm like, oh, it's great. It's going to be easy. You know, we win 3 in 5 years and I get MVP, and you think it's going to happen every year. But then, man, for 7 long years, we were going after it every year. And 2013, a lot of people was writing us off. You know, they say, oh, that was their last chance. You know, they're too old. And the way we came back in 2014, and we were on a mission, and it started in the summer. I won the gold medal with the French national team. It was the first time in the history. And I arrived at training camp and I was super motivated, and everybody was on a mission, to Pop, to Timmy, to Manu, like all the role players, everybody was super focused. And the way we played that year was maybe the best basketball that we ever played with the Spurs when we won the championship. And the way we played in the finals, it was great. It was great basketball. And so for me, I cherish that one more, because it's hard to win. And when you finally get it towards the end of your career, you appreciate it even more.
I remember during that series, we were all remarking, you know, in the press room, just like, it was the most beautiful brand of basketball I can remember in terms of the way the ball was moving around. It was an amazing series to watch. You mentioned the championship with France. And I know, you know, as you get further and further away from these things, you start kind of ranking what means what. You have multiple championships with the Spurs, obviously. You can argue over which one of those is your baby. But that championship with France, I mean, that had to, I'm sure, just from a national level.
No, for sure. That one meant a lot, because with the Spurs, I won, I was 21. So it was very early and we had success very early. The national team, we had no respect. We started from the bottom, you know, to earn respect from different European countries. And we were not a big basketball nation. And so we had to grow into that. And we were playing against an unbelievable generation of Spain. And so we lost a lot against Spain and we learned a lot. And so when we finally won in 2013, that was a big one, because I always told everybody, like, I want to win the first gold medal ever in French history, because when you're the first one, they will always remember you. And so that was a big goal of mine. I would have been very sad that, like, something was missing in my career if I didn't win the gold medal with the national team.
Yeah, that's definitely if you're the first, nobody ever wiped that away.
Exactly.
You mentioned being comfortable in retirement. That's hard. I know that's hard to transition from being, you know, playing and spending all that time to attain the level of success you did. How did you unplug from the game like that? How did you separate from it and then be cool with it? Because a lot of guys aren't.
Yeah, I find a happy middle with when I was on the court, always focus on basketball, but off the court, being curious, preparing after basketball. I remember a great meeting with Magic Johnson talking about business and giving me great advice to build, you know, relationship. Make sure you call people when you're playing because they don't call you when you retire. You know, you have to take advantage when you're playing. Right. And I build all those relationships and put myself in a great situation where now I'm having fun, you know, owning a basketball team, the men's team, owning the women's team. Winning the championships in 2019 with the men and the women, first time in 80 years in the EuroLeague. It's the second biggest league, you know, after the NBA. And just building something from scratch is pretty special. And my academy that just opened last year, being on the board of the soccer team, who just bought 30% of my basketball team, just having a good sense of business. And I learned a lot from Magic, and I'm building from that and try to do a unique a situation in France, and one day, I think I told you that too, one day do the same thing, you know, in the NBA level.
Right. That's awesome. I know you look at guys like Timmy. He tried coaching for a year and he's like, yeah, you know.
I don't know what Pop told him to convince him to do that anyway.
When you come in with a coach and other players like that, and you were so young, I remember Pop always giving you the business, you know, and he didn't hesitate to go at you. What was that like as a young player, just trying to get your confidence? Like, how did you deal with that?
It was hard. Everybody asked me, did Pop, why Pop apologize to you at your jersey retirement? I was like, well, you have no idea. He crossed the line many times, you know, but to me, I know he came from a good place and he was very competitive. He wanted to win. And that's all I cared. Like if my coach, that's his way to get through you and make sure, you know, we stay motivated. And because, you know, it's hard to stay at the top for a lot of years because it's just hard. You have to find new ways, you know, to motivate yourself every year. And Pop was great at that. And I was fine with the way that he treated me. And some people, they're not built for that. But I was fine with it. And Timmy was the same way. Manu was the same way. And we all went to war to try to win as many championships as we could.
So coming up in the generation of players was a group of you guys. You were the leader, but Boris, I can't tell you how many times I was in the locker room with Boris or Roni or somebody was talking about you and just kind of what they learned from your experience. Are you teaching that to the guys that are you're dealing with now in terms of just using the group to strengthen whatever you're doing?
Yeah, for me, I always have the open door policy. You know, some guys, they will reach out and I'm always available. Some guys don't reach out. You know, they want to do their own thing because I'm sure maybe they're tired of hearing of Tony Parker and Boris Diaw and the Golden Generation. They want to do their own thing. And I totally respect that. And if it's like that, I wish them success and it's great for French basketball. If they want to reach out like the way I did to Magic and Kobe, then, you know, I think it's great to learn from the one who were before you. And they were great, unbelievable players. And business side, they've been great. And all the French players that just came in, you have, it's like 50-50. But my thing is, like, I'm always open. Like, my door is always open. And I think it's always great to share experiences.
Yeah. You mentioned Kobe. I mean, 2020, I can't believe the year. We're still in the calendar year with all this stuff that's happened. The craziness, the hiatus, the bubble, getting ready to start another season. When you look at the game and you look at where we are right now in basketball, good place, better than you imagine we'd be with all that's going on. I mean, where do you think the game is right now?
No, I think the game is in a great place. The game, like if you look at the TV contract, if you look at everything, you know, fans, everything was up and everything was looking great. Then you have the crisis. Nobody could predict that. But I think we have to stay positive. We have to keep going. And I love the bubble. You know, the bubble was very successful. Congrats, you know, to the NBA and Adam Silver. I think they did a great job, you know, having a basketball on TV and making sure that all of us, we can still watch some NBA. And now that it starts, you know, December 22nd, they're losing no time, you know, to keep it going and surf on that wave. And I'm very happy for the guys. You know, we have to keep it going. I'm fighting the same way, you know, in France. You know, we are on lockdown. And just yesterday I was talking with the French president and see finding solutions, you know, for us to keep going. And I think everybody in sports, we have to keep going. You know, we can't not play. You know, that's the worst thing we can do.
Yeah. It's such an interesting time, too, when we talk about the game of basketball globally. You mentioned Giannis. I mean, you, Manu, Dirk, some of the, you know, now Luka. It's just such a remarkable turn of events to me. I didn't know that we'd see another player or players of y'all's caliber internationally. I was thinking, man, how could you get better than guys who win multiple championships, finals MVPs? And then Giannis comes along and wins back-to-back league MVPs. Did you see that coming from the global part of the game?
I didn't think it was going to come that fast.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because obviously each of us, we had an impact in our country. You know, me in France, Dirk in Germany, Pau in Spain. And it's hard to know how much time it will take, you know, to have that impact and having guys getting inspired like me, Dirk and Pau. We got inspired by the Dream Team in 1992 and being, you know, very nostalgic with The Last Dance. It was pretty cool to see all of that. I didn't think it was going to be that fast. But, you know, basketball is improving at a fast pace. And EuroLeague is a great level. Like I said earlier, you know, my team, you know, we play in the EuroLeague and it's the second best league after the NBA. And you have a lot of guys, you know, they can definitely play, but it's all about opportunities and stuff like that. And it's nice to see now owners and GMs having that confidence and that trust, you know, to put Luka and Giannis in those positions and building around them. It's pretty cool. And so I'm just happy for international basketball. And I'm happy for basketball in general because the NBA started with David Stern having that vision, you know, about having the best players around the world. And so that's exactly what happened.
You and your role in basketball now, I mean, it must be so unique having played at the levels you played at and achieved what you did. And now being on that other side of trying to shepherd careers or trying to create those winning environments. What's been the biggest challenge for you in the role you're in now, just trying to win and produce at that level?
You said it all. You said it all. Create a culture of winning environments. That's exactly what we created with San Antonio. And I try to get inspired by that and doing at the same level where I'm at now with Asvel. And when you see a little kid, 12 years old, at my basketball camp, and you sign him professionally and you win a championship with him in 2019, and now he's going to be drafted to the top 20. It's a pretty cool feeling because now I'm on the other side and you see that kid grow. And now he's like a man and he's going to be drafted. It's pretty cool. And I can see now what Pop and RC was feeling when they saw me play when I was 17, 18 years old and having the career that I had. Now I'm on the other side and I'm going to try to do the same thing and try to help and help the next generation. And so that's why I'm happy with those two French guys, Kian Hayes and Théo Malédon. Hopefully they'll be drafted the top 20 and keep that thing going with French basketball.
No doubt. Tony Parker, appreciate you giving us some of your time. The book is Tony Parker, Beyond All of My Dreams. I think the most appropriate title I can think of for a book for a guy that's way too young to be writing books right now.
Thank you. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Appreciate you.
Thank you.
All right, take care. That's Tony Parker here on the Hang Time Podcast. Hope you enjoyed it. We'll see you next time.